Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Dr. Pat Holliday, Marshall, and Dr. Sabrina. We just thank you for coming and joining us here tonight. It's such a wonderful experience and an opportunity for the Lord to afford us the ability, even through the airwaves, to receive the word of God, to receive the anointing, to receive prayer, to receive deliverance, to be healed and set free. We give praise and glory and honor to Jesus Christ for all he has done on our behalf. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you on behalf of all the listeners to Blog Talk, to those that will recast the broadcast, those that will come up live via Skype, via telephone, via the Internet. We thank you for them, each and every one, Father, and we ask that you bless them now in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, that we take authority and dominion and power over anything that would speak into their minds and cause them to be distracted from the service in Jesus' name. We bind it, cage it, chain it, mute it, muzzle it, and gag it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for clear minds, for eyes that can see and ears that can hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Father, we take authority, dominion, and power from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus over all the evil spirits, the demons, the warlocks, the witches, the sorcerers, the divinators, and that sort, that would attack this program and the persons that live it and the persons that minister hereby in any manner in Jesus' name. Every attack goes back in the name of Jesus. Every attack goes back multiplied in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that there will be no attack tonight, that we will have clear airways. We thank you for the host of heaven coming to assist us in this very thing. We thank you, Father, that we walk pleasing to you tonight in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for those who do not know Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the prayers that Jesus Christ is praying for those that are not saved, those in our families, those in our friends, and those that are on the planet that are alive, that can be saved, that are not saved in Jesus' name. We lift up a special prayer, Father, for everyone on the list, and we lift up a special prayer for A.V. and his friend, Father, that you get a hold of their lives, Father, that you touch their hearts, that you convict them of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. We thank you, Father, for breaking down the barriers and the walls that have been placed in their lives, that have been hindering them, for the stumbling block of their iniquity being removed away, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you and we give you praise, Father, for all those that will come into the kingdom tonight as a result of experiencing this ministry and this broadcast in Jesus' name. Father, Psalm 32:8-9 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and lest they come near to thee. Father, we repent of our sins. We repent of walking around with no understanding and not seeking you for any. We repent, Father, of acting just as this scripture says, as the mule or the horse, which have to have a bit and bridle and be pulled into place, Father, in Jesus' name, and be made to obey and be made to submit in Jesus' name. We repent of any such obstinance and stubbornness and witchcraft and rebellion in our hearts and in our lives and in our minds, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask for your forgiveness, Father, and we ask, Father, that you replace those things in our lives with your very Holy Spirit, with your very word, with your very self. We submit ourselves to your word and to your teachings. We submit ourselves to your love. We submit ourselves and receive God the Holy Spirit in our lives to lead us and guide us and to teach us all things. We thank you, Father, that you are right. All your judgments are just. You cannot be wrong. And so we must align ourselves with your truth. We thank you for your truth, and we submit ourselves to it. We yield our hearts to you now. We yield our minds and our understanding. We yield our hearing to you now, Father, that we would hear correctly what you are teaching us. We thank you for this opportunity, Father, for it will not always exist. We give you praise and glory and honor, for the day will come, Father, when things will be shut down, and we will not be able to do such things. So we thank you for this wisdom and that is coming forth to us in Jesus' name. We thank you for this window of opportunity where you are pouring forth into our hearts. We humble ourselves before you now, and we receive the word at your hand in Jesus' name.
Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to be with you in the house of the Lord once more, because Jesus is Lord, and you know, he's going to teach us some new things tonight. And so you just ask the Lord to open your eyes and your mind and your ears to spiritual understanding so that you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Now, we're going to be teaching you tonight about a lot of different things. How does the hypnosis affect you? What about blasphemy and antichrist spirits coming in as you celebrate with the world and their secular things that they do? What does parapsychologists have to do with Christianity? There's so much to say about these things. You know, polytheism is seeking after other gods or believing all pathways lead back to God. And this has captured the Christian church all over the world, because many of your pastors and church leaders have gotten caught up in this kind of theology, and they're learning it from the seminaries that they go to in the world. A lot of seminaries, and particularly some of the bigger seminaries, are owned by the bankers and the people that are trying to bring together a new world order. In order to have a new world order, they have to have a one world belief system. And the only way that they can do that is to separate Christians, Muslims, and people that have a monotheistic God, that means believing in only one God. They have to separate them from the old foundations of their faith so that they can put them in this mishmash of we're all brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are just you. Now, just recently, this new pope that we've got, what he did is he came out and he actually said that you did not have to believe on Jesus Christ or the Bible to get back in to the kingdom of God, that even atheists would be going when they die. Now, you know, the Bible does not teach that. And the Bible doesn't teach New World religious unity at all. And so if you want to know why so many churches seem to be in trouble today, is I think that they've ignored the Bible, and many of them ignored Jesus as the Lord and the only Lord. And so they ignore who he really is, they ignore why he came, and they ignore that they have to lead their lives holy, and they have to turn away from sin in order to become and stay a Christian. The Bible is just absolutely full of backsliding, and that Christians can backslide. And you see the standard has been taken away from the American churches in many instances. A lot of times they have advanced the spirit of the world within their church, and they have let down the creed of the church of Jesus is Lord and sanctification, holiness, how to be born again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you let something fall down, something else will rise up and take its place. And, of course, what has taken its place is corruption. A lot of times you find alcohol, drug abuse, adultery even, homosexuality. You find pastors, priests, and so-called Christians opening up for actuals to be married. And they've trampled on marriage. They've trampled on the sanctity of life, which is abortion on demand. And also, they're getting ready to trample on the fact that when you grow old, you are no use anymore to the secular world. And so they want to kill the older people through what they call death panels. And if you have to go to the hospital and you're 70 years old, a secular political death panel will be put in place to decide whether or not you have quality life and whether or not they're going to treat you. And you will have a choice of being in pain because they're not going to treat you, or you'll have the choice of taking a pill and committing suicide. This is law now in the United States government. And you know, America has become a laughingstock of the world. E. Putin is standing up for the sanctity of marriage. Brother Putin says that he's a Christian and that Russia is now a Christian nation. And he says that America is more communistic than Russia ever was. He says that he's not going, he said that if you come to the Olympics next year and you flaunt your homosexuality, that you will be placed in prison. Now, I wonder if maybe we ought to all move over to Russia. But the point being is things are changing, and they're changing so radically and so powerfully and quickly, both in the secular world, in the political world, and in the church world. And so as a Christian, you have to know who Jesus is, and you have to put your feet in the gospel, the King James Version of the Word, and you have to say, Lord, keep me safe in your arms. And Lord, keep my mind on you and in your word so that I have understanding as to who you are. Because as things get shaky, I want to be able to firmly stand on the principle that you are God of the universe and that you can take care of me. So it's important for you to prepare for things that are going to happen in the very near future so that you'll be a stand. Now, in Ephesians 1:21, the Bible says that Jesus is far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in which to come. And so this tells us that you have to know that scripture, because the Bible also says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken before Jesus comes. Governments, churches, all kinds of people are going to be shaken before Jesus comes. And you know, when you shake a tree, fruit falls off of the tree. And so we need to be praying for our sons and daughters and for our relatives and for people that we've known over the years that have backslidden. And we also need to pray for ourselves on a daily, daily basis. And our prayers go in the name of Jesus, because his name is above every name in Philippians 2:9. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name is above every name. It's above every name. Now, the problem that we have in America is that the church system is being shaken, and it's being shaken very, very hard, and there's already fruit of people falling away. You see, the devil is a deceiver, and he's not stupid. He knows that if he can shake the foundation of the church, many people will go into confusion and many will fall away. The foundation of the church is shown in 1 Timothy 3:15, and it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And you see, the church must remain the foundation of God, and it must be a place where we go and it's sanctified with the blood of Jesus, and it stays firm on its foundations because the Word of God is being taught in that church or in that group of people. And as I've already told you, that you're sitting in a church tonight. This is our Wednesday night prayer meeting and worship service. And it's also our Friday comes, it will be our praise and worship service. And we teach and we minister to the needs of the people. And this is the plan that God gave to us for this time and this season. Because you see, you are a particular person in Christ Jesus, and he loves you very much, and he wants to minister to your needs. And the way this particular prayer meeting operates is it operates through the board, and it operates also through people calling in for prayer or to give us a testimony. And so it's an interactive radio program where we get to know you and you get to know us. It's, you know, one of the problems that's happening in the regular churches today is that people come to church and they become very passive Christians. And they want to just come to church, hear a sermon, say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. That was a good message, Pastor. And then they want to get up and leave and go home. And they don't think about what they heard from that Sunday to the next Sunday or Wednesday. And you see, church is the living word. That is the place, somebody described it as a hospital. The church is not a hospital. The church is a place, I call it a training center, and it's a place where you learn the Word of God and you learn how to connect in with Jesus, how to make sure that he is your personal Savior and that you can connect into him and get results as you grow in the spirit realms with your own prayer life. So then you can become a participator in the church when you get your own grounds, your spiritual grounds under control, then you can become a Christian that helps in the church in spiritual things, praying for people and interceding and helping the pastor in spiritual things. The foundation of the church is shown in the Bible very, very clearly. And the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ and him crucified on the cross, that he resurrected from the ground, from the grave, that he had descended down into hell and led the captives free. But the most important thing that he did in hell also was to take the keys of life and death from the devil. Now, this is important for you to understand, because the keys were taken from Adam in the garden. Adam had dominion over the land when he was in the garden. God gave it to him. He had the keys. And whenever they fell into sin, the devil had given them a promise, and he said, "You shall be like God. And if you just do this, if you just eat out of that tree that he told you not to eat out of, you will be like him, and you will know good from evil." And they fell into sin, and when they did, they lost eternal life. They were on this earth. They were made to live forever on the earth. And so that's part of the foundational teachings of the church. And then becoming a saint so that you can live a holy, purified life on this earth, so that you can walk in peace and have peaceful, sleepful nights, so that you can take dominion over things that are coming against you, because Jesus now gives you availability to those keys that he took from Satan. And so he gives us the same power and the same anointing that he had when he was on the earth. So that's why when we say, "I bind you, Satan," it's not you binding Satan. When you say, "I bind you, Satan," Jesus in heaven gets in agreement with you and your words, and he binds Satan. He binds him in heaven, and he binds him on the earth. And that's why the binding powers work, is because of his great, mighty power to us who believe. So, if the foundations are lost, the Bible says, what will the righteous do? And, of course, a lot of the righteous that think they're righteous and that think that they're just going to dance and sing until Jesus comes back and everything's going to be fine, they think that they don't have to do anything. When the church falls down, they don't have to do anything. Well, the righteous do have to do something. First and foremost, they have to seek Jesus to find the place where the righteous are. Because when the church system falls as greatly as it has fallen in our day and time, and we're in the time where there will be a great falling away, according to 1 Thessalonians, and also a time where pastors and church leaderships have been misled in their biblical instruction because they went to seminaries and schools that were paid for by the Illuminati. And so they were mistaught, and in many instances, they just really don't have the foundations in their spirit. Someone said the other day, we were talking about something about the end times, and they said, yes. And when the rapture comes, they said only 144,000 people will be taken. Well, see, that is Jehovah's Witness teaching. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. It teaches that there will be 144,000 people that will be chosen of God, 10,000 out of each of the tribes of the blood of Jesus, the Jews. And those people will be the preachers on the earth during the tribulation years. And it's directed at Israel. It's not directed at the church at all. And so you see some people just hear people say things, and or they'll hear a sermon and they'll just get up and repeat it. But foundations, they don't have placed in them because they've never been taught foundations. Now, it's important to know foundations because of the fact that whenever you see things happening, then if you study the Word, and as God begins to build you up in the Word, it's the Word of God and the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that helps us to discern right from wrong. And so the Bible says in John 14 that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And so, but a lot of people today are so busy, they don't take time to sit with the Lord and pray and just learn at His feet and say, teach me, Jesus. And Jesus will teach you things through the Word of God. But now here's what happened in America. America is a special place that God used to send the Word of God all over the world. And He sent that Word through evangelists for several hundred years. He also used the church in England, by the way, to send missionaries throughout the world. And so when you go into many of the third world countries, you'll find Christians there. And the Christians are there because a missionary, God sent them to that country as a seed planter to plant His Word. And then preachers will begin to be trained by the Lord, and they will rise up in towns and countries. And the next thing you know, you have viable churches around the world. And God used America for that cause. So America, in the sight of God, was a very special place. And if you look around, you will see churches on every corner. And there's churches, full nature, on every corner. And some of them still teach the Bible, the King James Version. A few of them do. Some of them still stand for the name of Jesus and His crucifixion. But you see, the Bible says that if it were possible, even the very elect will be deceived in the last days. Now, let's examine that so that you don't get insecure in your Lord. It says, if it were possible. What does that mean? That means if it was possible for the devil to deceive the elect. That means it is not possible for the devil to deceive the very elect. Can you see that now? It says if he could, even the elect would be deceived. So he can't deceive you unless you let him deceive you. Unless you just look at Christianity and Jesus as just a little side avenue of your life. You see, Jesus wants to be right in the center of your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants spirit. He wants your flesh. In other words, you have to love Jesus with your whole heart and your whole mind, and you have to serve Him zealously, just as the Apostle Paul did. He's not going to just sit on the little corner of your heart and say everything's okay. Operating in your life, unless he's the center of your world. Now, here's what happened Back in the 60s, there was a little group of guys that came along by the name of the Beatles. And the Beatles, they were the structure, the beginning of what we know as rock and roll, I think. And they came over from England, and they set America aflame with rock and roll music. And a lot of people never noticed, but they set our youth aflame with paganism and with Eastern religion. And so what happened was George Harris, in February 25th, 1965, he had his first experience with pot and 2 months before taking LSD. While George was in the Bahamas filming Help with the rest of the Beatles, Swami Vasudeva, Devanandra, spotted him and handed him a copy of a book he'd written in 1960, The Complete Illustration of the Book of Yoga. Now, besides being a guide to yoga exercises, it gave the instruction to the Hindu religion, explaining the truth can be comprehended by the mind. And therefore, to achieve enlightenment, it is necessary to develop techniques to bypass the intellect. Yoga has its own method and declares that the truth can be experienced. Now, Devanandra had written the book's introduction. He says, quote, "The truth can be experienced only when one transcends the sense and when the mind and the intellect cease to function." In other words, the devil has to steal your mind for you to change your religious fixation. He has to transform you into a new mind by stealing your conscious mind. And what he does is he takes meditation, they call it, in Hinduism. You have to meditate in order to put yourself into a trance, or you have to put yourself up underneath a person.
Guru.
A guru, or it can be a psychiatrist or a psychologist, or it can be just a little Christian that's learned techniques on how to hypnotize people. In other words, you have to be hypnotized to transform your faith from one faith to the other, unless it's spiritual and it's Christian. And the difference between the Christian faith is Jesus convicts you of your sin. You are a conscious being when he convicts you. And you feel that the load of sin is on your back, and you know that you are separated from God because of the conviction of sin. And what happens is, whenever he convicts you of sin, he gives you the grace to know that you can be forgiven by just simply calling out and asking God to forgive you. And you do that through Jesus and his blood sacrifice on the cross. That's Christian conversion. Now, the yoga conversion and these other hypnotic conversion is the person that is your guru will hypnotize you. And what that does is It puts your conscious mind to sleep. And when your conscious mind goes to sleep, then the handler, the mind handler, is able to call a demonic spirit called fear into you. And the spirit called fear will open up your subconscious mind. And then when your subconscious mind is open, from that point, the spirit of fear becomes your mind, your spiritual mind handler. And that thing will lead you from that day forward into evil things. It will lead you into all sorts of evil things. And so your subconscious mind will now be over your conscious mind. Now, what happens is before the guru hypnotizes you and takes control of your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, your conscious mind is that part of you that your will is in. And your will is that part of you that God has put inside of you that a lot of people think that it's just intuition. But actually, what it is, the will says, yes, I will do this. No, I won't do that. Your will is that part of you that says, this is bad. I will not do that. Or this is good. I will do that. And your will is that part of you that says, this is bad. Oh, it's bad, but I'm going to go do it anyway because I want to. Now, that's all going on in your conscious mind. So, therefore, when the Holy Spirit comes and he convicts you of your sin and you ask Jesus to come and live in your heart, then you have to transform your mind through the Word of God. The Bible calls it, the mind is renewed by the hearing of the word. So as you listen to the word of God, your mind becomes cleansed with the living water of the word, and it becomes whole through the blood of Jesus. The Bible is drenched in the blood of Jesus, and the power of the word comes right into your mind, and it washes your mind, and it goes right down into your, beyond your flesh, down into your soul, into your spirit, all the way down into your bone marrow. It's quick and powerful, the Word of God says in Hebrews. And so you need to understand that if you want to be a Christian, you're going to have to do it God's way, not your way. Because when you become a Christian, what you say is, Lord, I repent. I give you my life. I no longer live in the flesh. I live in the power of the Son of Man. And he lives in me. Jesus comes inside of you, and he takes his domain inside of you. And so you have to let go, and through the Word of God, let Jesus re-educate you. And you will start from kindergarten, and he'll slowly, quickly build you up on your faith until all of a sudden you become a mature Christian. It doesn't happen the minute you get saved. But a lot of things can happen the minute you get saved. And you can reach out and get the divine protection of Jesus over your life instantly. We talked about that last week. You can also find peace and rest. Whenever you lift your hands and you begin to praise the Lord, the devil cannot stand in the same ground where the Lord is. And the Bible says that he, Jesus, inhabits the praises of his people. So that's what happens when you praise the Lord. You're calling the Spirit of God on the scene. That means when the Spirit of God comes on the scene, the devil's got to go. He cannot stand and torment you if you are praising the Lord and you mean it. Amen? It's not a ritualistic thing. It's a spiritual thing to praise the Lord. So these are just some of the foundations of how we got to where we are. So what happened was that the Beatles became, George Harrison got his new faith, and the Beatles became worshipers of Eastern religion. And for the first time, they brought down the wall from around America, the spiritual, supernatural wall that had been put up by the Spirit of God, because the church in America were reading the King James Version of the Bible, and the preachers were preaching the King James Version of the Bible all over the country, and the name of Jesus Christ was being lifted up. Now, there was a woman by the name of Alice Bailey, and Alice Bailey was alive in the 20s and 30s, and she became the person that took the place of Blavatsky, who was the woman that got the world plan for the New Age religious movement back in the 1900s. And it's a religion based on ascended masters, spirit guides, fallen angels, and based on all pathways lead back to God, and that Jesus is not God. That's in a nutshell what it's about. So Alice Bailey took the reins of that New Age movement. Some people call it the Rosicrucian movement in America. Some people call it the Mason movement. But she took the reins of that. And she had a spirit guide called Dewal Cool. And in that, he told her that he was going to bring forth the Christ, the real Christ, that Jesus was not the Christ, that every now and then a great personality comes on this side of the plane, he said, and when it does, they become spiritual rulers. And Jesus was one of those, but he was not God. He was just a good teacher and a person, a figure is what Jesus was to these people. And he says that people like Buddha, all of the various religious figures in the world, were the Christ during the time that they were alive. He told her that the Christ was going to return soon. He told her that every major religion was looking for the Christ. And he said, this devil said, that the Christians are looking for the return of Jesus Christ. The Muslims, the Hindus, the Jewish faith, all five of them are looking for the return of a Messiah. And so in order to get these people together, they had to bring about a breaking down of the walls of differences. And so one of the primary groups, that they found that was able to start breaking these walls down was the Catholic Church. I remember back in 1972, the Pope met with all of the major leaders of the Protestant churches in the world in a place called Assisi. And whenever they met there, they met not only with the Protestant leaders, but they met with the African witch doctors. They met with the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, and anyone that believes in God. And they met and they prayed and fasted for the peace of the world together. And that was the first breaking down of the walls between Catholicism and the Protestants, openly anyway. And so from there, we have come a long way, baby. And what happened was this, not this last pope that just resigned because it was discovered he was doing homosexual acts, but it was the one before him, I think his name was John Paul. That man was the most traveled pope that the Catholic Church has ever seen. And he, every time he would come into a country, he would meet privately with all of the religious leaders of that country together, and they would fast and pray together. So they're breaking down the walls of that we're going to receive, that all pathways lead back to God. Now, when he died, of course, this other new pope, the one that just resigned for his homosexuality, that man, he didn't make the impact. He was trying desperately to, but he did not really make the impact. And when it came uncovered, his secret sin, he suddenly resigned. And when he resigned, this new pope came into being, Francis. And Francis, just in the last couple of weeks, made a statement. And the statement was that everyone's going to heaven, whether they're a Catholic or not. He says you can even be an atheist and you can get to heaven. And so there we've broken down the lines some more. And so meanwhile, there are people that God has kept in his, because they have kept God as a focus of their lives. And God is not going to lose anyone. If you belong to Jesus and if he belongs to you and you love him and he loves you, he is not going to lose you during these times. So there you have two things. You have the hypnotic power. I taught you how they get into your mind. And the devil has to get into your mind to make goals in your life. Your mind has to be protected from the devil. And getting in the Word of God is part of that protection. As I taught you last week, whenever Nicole told me last week it was, she said, "I'm learning so much." She said, "Pastor," she said, "I just got through reading The New Creation." And the week before, she had come up on Blog Talk, and she had received a lot of deliverance. She said, "My mind is so clear." Well, that's what's supposed to happen to your mind. When you get delivered, you're driving the devils out of your mind, out of your subconscious mind, and out of your flesh. And you have to replace it, and you have to replace it with the Word of God and the presence of Jesus. That's what deliverance is all about. Deliverance is not about devils. Deliverance is about Jesus and his power to transform us into our new creation. Our soul, our spirit comes alive, according to the Bible, to Jesus, and our soul comes from being dead, alive. Our spirit is alive. And so when you've got an alive spirit, you've got to feed it living Word. It cannot exist on the powers of the world and on what you knew before. It has to be fresh every morning Your commitment to Jesus and your love to Jesus is new every morning. That's what the Bible says. And so now I've taught you how they broke down the America so far. But let me get back to Alice Bailey. Now, when she connected into those ascended masters, is what the New Age call them, and all they are fallen spirit, and she had a spirit guide called Dewal Cool. And he took her over to India, and he introduced her to a young man by the name of Krish Marathi. And Krish Marathi was just a young boy when she met him. And she took this young man and she said, the Spirit showed me that you are the Christ. And so whenever she said, I am going to take you and introduce you to the world, because you are the Christ that we're looking for. And she took that young boy and began to travel throughout the world with that young boy, introducing him as the Christ. And the world received him. All over the world, they received him, the New Age people. And finally, she took him to America. This is in the 1930s, and I think around, from memory, 29 or 1930. And she brought him to America. And whenever the boat started coming down the Hudson River, he started feeling very strange. He started feeling very uncomfortable. And he told her, he said, I don't think I'm going to be able to speak here. He said, there's something in the air that stops me from being able to do what I do. And so they pulled into the New York Harbor, and all of the press, the worldly press, was there waiting for the Christ figure to step off the boat. And he said to her, take me to the hotel room. I cannot speak. She took him to the hotel room. And he told her, he said, I don't think that I can speak in America. And he had to leave the country because there was a force in the land that he couldn't describe. He didn't know what it was, but it had an effect on his power. Well, I'm going to tell you today what it was. What it was is it was the blood of Jesus that was still being taught in all of the pulpits in America, in every church, on every corner. And there was a revival in the land at the same time because prayer meetings had scattered from the Depression, all from New York City all the way across the country. So the banner of the name of Jesus and his blood was being lifted very high in the land. Now, what was the difference between the Krish Marathi and the Beatles was that by the time the Beatles came to America, its bloodline had crashed. Christians were no longer serving Jesus like they were before. What happened was that in the 1960s, young people started leaving their homes all over America, and they would go out to California and across the country. They were looking for God, they said. And they came out of Christian homes where the family would go to church every Sunday and Wednesday, but they were living their own lives as they pleased. the mother and the father started smoking and drinking, and they let down the holiness, the Christian foundation that they had grown up in. And so the young people said, we can't stand the hypocrisy anymore. We're going to find God. So they went out to California, and they went out on the beach out there, and they started, they found the God of the world, and they started doing free sex and drugs, and next thing you know, the gurus came pouring into the country when the Beatles came, and these young people started finding the Hindu religion and the gurus, because the gurus flooded in after the Beatles brought the first one here. And you could go out in California and you could find these gurus and their followers out on the street in their little orange chiffon robes, chanting their songs to their Hindu gods. The charismatic movement actually came out of this movement when a young woman who was an Assembly of God lady had a house on the beach, and she saw these poor people out there walking up and down the beach with their teeth falling out of their mouths, hungry. And she, every Sunday, would cook, and they would come up and eat out of the back of her yard, and she taught them the foundations of the Christian church and got people that later became very, very famous in the charismatic move, which came from the beach in California and spread throughout the world. And that's how the charismatic movement, it came through what they called the Jesus people. And so I don't want to go into that anymore, because I promised you that I was going to tell you how the devil works in the mind. How does it happen? And that's what I'm trying. To tell you at this moment is, how does the devil get in the mind? How did he take over the minds of the American children, of the American Christians, in such a short time? Well, one thing he used was television. He used subliminals in television. He used movies. He used books. He was out there doing everything he possibly could do to get souls. But another thing that he did is he took over the seminaries, the Christian schools. He took over Christian bookstores in America, probably across the world. But the other thing he did is he brought another gospel. And this was a gospel of the mind. And the gospel of the mind was the psychological gospel. I have a book up on Miracle Internet Church under ebooks. That's not the Amazon place. This is MiracleInternetChurch.com on Agnes Sanford, and it shows you how they got the mind science in the Christian church. First, a woman by the name of Mary Eddy came through with the Christian Science Church, but the Christian church wasn't blinded enough, so she just ended up finding a cult of people in that. But mind people came right into the church through the charismatic movement, because its preachers didn't know very much about the Word of God. And so they transferred them from the foundations of the Word of God into mind sciences, mind foundations, plus they got them to be able to connect with spirits, what they call spirit guides. And so where did all of this originate from, though? Psychiatry became very important through a fellow by the name of Freud and Jung, Carl Jung. Freud was a perverted man that believed that everything that happens in your life happens to you because you have a secret desire to have sex with one of your parents. He called it the Oedipus complex. And all of his psychoanalysis was about listening to people for hours on the couch and coming to the conclusion that's why they were mentally ill, because they had an Oedipus complex. Now, Jung, who was Freud's friend, he had a spirit guide called Philemon, and his spirit guide taught him everything that he knew, and he mixed Freud's psychological stuff together with his spiritual stuff, and, of course, he believed, and he wanted to fulfill his innate potential, is what he called it. And it was based on his studies of Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Gnosticism, and Taoism, and other traditions. And Jung believed this journey of transformation, which he called individualization, is the mystical heart of all religions. It is a journey to meet the self, and the same time to meet the divine. Unlike Sigmund Freud, Jung thought spiritual experience was essential to a person's well-being. Now, what he did is he took what he called alchemy, and he focused on alchemy. In 1944, he wrote a book called Psychology and Alchemy, where he analyzed alchemical symbols and showed a direct relationship between analytical, thank you. And he argued that the process would bring transformation of the impure soul, that would be your mind, and lead to a perfected soul, which was gold, a metaphor of the individualization process. So what he conjured up was something that we call mysticism. And he published many books concerning the mystical connections and how it functions, and he married the sacred stuff that he had learned, something that he called the archetype, with the sacred marriage between the sun and the moon. And so he also brought together the blackening, the whitening, the reddening, the yellowing, and it could be taken as a symbolic of an individualization. Now, I know you don't understand all of that, but what it is it's the simple thing that all pathways lead back to God, and it eventually leads to the fact that you are a God, because when you go through all of this New Age stuff, they promise that you can become a self-God, that you can get to the quantum leap where you become a God yourself. And now, Christians, you might say, well, any Christian would know better than that. Well, any Christian does not know better than that, because we have a whole movement, and the whole movement is called the Word of Faith movement. It came about from a person by the name of Kenneth Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin got involved by reading an occultist book by the name of E.W. Kenyon. And E.W. Kenyon was a Christian that had gone to a school of Waldo Emerson, who was an occultist. And so he started a school to teach Christian ministers how to present sermons standing behind a pulpit. And so E.W. Kenyon took his teachings of occultism and mixed them with the Bible and healing, and also talking to spirits. And so what came out of it? Kenneth Hagin printed his books and started teaching his stuff. And Kenneth Hagin, what's that lady's name that wrote his
book? Billy Graham.
What is it?
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham, she's still around today, took Kenneth Hagin's books and wrote them for him and copied in many instances, word for word, E.W. Kenyon's books. So Kenneth Hagin, a lot of people across the country thought he was a very smart person. He only had about an eighth grade education, really. But that's what his brother told me, and I met him personally. And so a whole group of people formed following Kenneth Hagin, and then they followed Copeland. And so from there, this one and that one and this one, and a whole movement developed, which is nothing more than a cult that is no more than a Jehovah Witness movement. And I know a lot of people will get mad at me for that, but that is the truth. If you want to find out more about Kenneth Hagin, Agony and Deceit, you can find the book up on Amazon. And so that's all I'm going to say about that. But a whole bunch of charismatic people followed after that. So it comes about step by step by step, friends. And so if you've gotten involved in some of these things, and of course from the Word of Faith movement came the prophetic movement, from that came the trips to heaven, the third wave movement, all sorts of movements where men are the head of the movement and they teach you spiritual things apart from the Word of God, or they take some of these new Bibles and they teach you out of the new Bibles and twist the Christian faith. So what this is all getting down to is you've got to make sure, you have to make sure today that you are following after Jesus, because the Bible says, and Jesus said this, if the blind leadeth the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. So if you follow a false prophet, that means you are following a man or a woman instead of Jesus. And Paul said it like this. Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus. In other words, Paul was saying, follow me as long as I follow Jesus. But if you see me falling away and doing things that I'm not supposed to, follow Jesus. Don't follow a human being. Follow Jesus. You can be taught by a human being, as I'm teaching you today. But you need to, after you've heard some of the things that you've heard today, you need to get into the Word, and you need to say to the Lord, reaffirm your presence to me, Lord. Reaffirm that you are God to me. Let me feel your presence. I worship you, Jesus. A lot of people say to me, Dr. Holliday, I've never heard the voice of the Lord. Well, a lot of times you've never heard the voice of the Lord because you never get alone and sit with the Lord for any period of time. Because we live in a world where everyone is so busy. And why are we busy? Because we're doing things that our forefathers never had to do. They never had televisions. They never had computers. They never had radios. I remember a group of men decided that they were going to go up on a mountain in Jerusalem. I forget which one it was now. But they were going to go up there and seek the presence of the Lord. And they had made an agreement that they were going to go up and sit still before the Spirit of the Lord. They said that it took them a week just to calm their bodies down so that they could be still. In other words, they were not going to speak to anybody. They were not going to talk to anybody. They were going to meditate on the Word of God. They were going to pray. They were going to praise the Lord. They were going to get in the presence of the Lord. And it took them a week to calm the busyness and the activities of their bodies so that they could sit and hear and experience the presence of the Lord. And so you have to cultivate things like that, just like you do fasting. We don't tell you to get on a fast and fast 40 days. You're not going to make it. And whenever you try to do something like that and you fail, then the devil beats you up and says, see, you're not a good Christian. You can't do what God told you to do. Well, God hasn't called you for a 40-day fast as a young Christian. He may start you out fasting. Well, darling, you just fast breakfast. And after fasting breakfast, well, I think you're ready now. Maybe you can fast breakfast and lunch. Now maybe next week you can fast for a couple of days and just fast breakfast, lunch, and dinner and do it for one day. And you work up. And when you're on a fast, you close all of the doors to the world. That means that you don't open the television and watch television. You don't go shopping. The New Testament even tells you to withdraw yourself from sex with your mate. You have to do it God's way. Because now, let me explain to you what's going on when you fast. You are opening up your spirit, and your spirit is closed. And your will says, okay, spirit, I want you to open up now because I want you to receive this message. Dr. Pat is giving a message. And so you sit and you concentrate. And you say, Jesus, help me to understand this message, like Dr. Sabrina and I told you, she told you before the sermon. Okay, Jesus opens up your spirit, and your spirit opens up just like a bloom, like a rose that's closed, and when the sun shines on it, it starts opening up. Well, your spirit opens up when the Word of God comes, and it showers you with the living water, and your spirit begins to blossom and open up. Now, if you are fasting, the same thing happens. You're telling your spirit, Spirit, I want to get close to the Lord. Open up. And that spirit person, that spiritual part of you, that bloom begins to open up to receive the living water of God. Dr. Sabrina says, study Isaiah 58:6. In fact, study the whole thing there because it's all about how fasting breaks the yoke of the evil one. But now here you are, you're fasting. And so when you stop fasting, you need to close that door and you close that door and you just start praising the Lord and you say, thank you for teaching me, Lord. And now I'm just going to go and eat, and you pick up your normal life. The door closes and you have protected your spiritual person. And it's when you have a protected spiritual person that you will learn how to fast, that you will hear the voice of the Lord, because it's in those times that you're quiet before the throne of God and you're seeking Him through His word and prayer. I used to stay with a man when I used to travel, and his wife downstate, and every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, he would get up and he would spend an hour with Jesus before anybody else in the whole family awakened. He would have spent his hour with Jesus. And Jesus was using him greatly down there in that area of Florida to spread the word of God. So if you want to get to know Jesus, you've got to take time. Jesus doesn't just pop in because you say, hello, Jesus. I mean, he'll pop in to protect you if you're in danger and you cry out and say, help me, Lord. He'll be right there. But the whole thing that you have to learn is to create a lasting, precious relationship with Jesus. That's more important. You took time to go and learn about the occult. You read their materials. You had to go up different levels of teaching to get to different levels of their spirituality. You spent time. You did what they told you to do. You went to their meetings. You were there on time, and so on and so forth. Well, if you think that Christianity is just one little sideline of your life, it isn't. Christianity is just like that too, except instead of visiting and doing those things with a human being, you are getting to know Jesus, and He is sowing His word into your heart. And when Jesus releases a scripture into your heart, it just springs off of the page and it comes in and you say, I never saw that before. I still do that many times. I say, oh, now I understand what that means. I thought it meant this, but it didn't. It meant that. And the Lord teaches you things. He teaches you the Word of God. He teaches you. And as you learn, and as you walk with Jesus, and as you spend time with Him and His Word, that's when you'll be able to say, like Nicole did last week, I can't get over how clear my mind has gotten. And see, it's the ones that are not paying attention, that do not do what we tell them to do, that will not, and we say, come back next week and give us a testimony. Well, we don't hear from them. Or they go back to their church and they say, well, everything's fine. And they just forget to come back and say, hey, you know, this is what happened this week. If it's good, tell us. If it's bad, tell us. Because if it's good, you'll get stronger in Jesus. If it's bad, tell us, and we'll minister some more to you, and you'll get stronger in Jesus. That's what this is about. It's not about us getting up here trying to make you think that we're smart. I'm not very smart. Only thing I know is Jesus and His word a little, but I'm not a real smart person. And so I want you to get your eyes on Jesus and keep them pasted on Jesus and understand that He is your teacher, that He does love you, and that He wants you to grow. And you can grow stronger and stronger all the time. Amen. Now, Dr. Sabrina just wrote in the chat room, the wise disciple, and this is for those people that are up on the phone, and put the phone number in. And the wise disciple listens, takes notes, and obeys the instruction if the instructions are godly instructions. Now, as you begin to do those things, the discerning of spirits will become stronger to you. You won't be discerning spirits because you think something. You saw somebody make a funny twitch with their face, or their eye went a funny way, or even their tongue went a funny way. You know, there's a thing called the Kundalini spirit. And when the Kundalini spirit manifests, what happens is the Kundalini spirit comes out and it darts in and out just like a snake's tongue. But then there's a thing that when people speak a long time, haven't taken a little sip of water, their mouth might get dry. And they'll take their lip and they'll just roll their tongue over their lips to wet their lips because they need a sip of water. I mean, you've got to discern. It's not because the tongue came out of somebody's mouth. How did that tongue? Did that tongue come out and look like a snake's tongue? And a snake, his tongue comes darting in and out real quick, flickering in and out real quick. Somebody that just puts their tongue out doesn't mean they have a Kundalini spirit. But if you don't know any better, anybody whose tongue makes a way out of their mouth has a Kundalini spirit to you. So you have to grow up. And you see, this is the place where you grow, because we teach you things that God has taught us. We teach you things that you need to know. But it's God, Jesus, that's going to take the things that we teach you, and he's going to reinforce them in your spirit. He's going to make them come alive to you. I mean, what did it mean to me the first time that Brother Vineyard told me, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven? And I said, well, brother, how long does something stay bound? Because I see all these Christians, and they're all running around binding the same thing over and over. How long do they can you keep them bound? And his eyes zeroed in on my eyes and just absolutely penetrated my eyes. And he said, forever, if you can believe it. And I looked back at him and I said, you know what? I can believe that. Mm-hmm. And from then on, when I bound a demon, that demon was bound because I bind it one time and it was forever in my mind. And the devils know what you think. Mm-hmm. If you think that they can keep coming back and tormenting you, they're going to do that. But if you think Jesus is big enough to stop them, and you believe that, and you bind them, and you say, Jesus, I'm in agreement with you that demon's bound, and it has no more over my mind, my body, or my spirit, because you live in my heart. I bind it in agreement with you. And then you get into praise, you'll begin to see effective work going on with your own mouth. Because Jesus wants you to learn those things. But he wants you to learn them his way, not your way. Mm-hmm. It isn't going to work your way. Amen?
Amen.
So the number, I think Dr. Sabrina put it up on the chat room, and it's 805-292-0300. And we want testimonies, and we want you've to call and ask for prayer. I had a lady to email me this past week, and she she wanted to know when could she come to Jacksonville, that she had come all the way from Europe, and that she wanted to, she was down in downstate somewhere, and that she had emailed me and wanted to know when she could come up here. And I emailed her back, and I said, we meet on Sunday at 12:30 p.m., and told her the directions. Well, I didn't hear anything from her, and she didn't show up to the meeting last Sunday. And so then I sent out the flyer last week to Friday night's prayer meeting, and I had added one of my books on the flyer, and it was, what's the name of that book? You Didn't Build That, Obama. You Didn't Build That. And it was a takeoff on a sentence that he had said. And so she wrote me back and told me she didn't want to hear about what I had to say about the President of the United States. She just wanted to know when she could come to Jacksonville. She was desperate, so that I could meet with her every day, and that I didn't answer her email. And I wrote her back, and I sent her the first answer, and I said that was an invitation to come to Jacksonville, because that's when we meet. And I said, I don't meet every day with people for 2 hours. I don't have the strength to do that. Unless we're having a conference, I don't have the strength to do that. We meet on Sunday afternoon, and usually, many times, we don't get away from there until 4, 5, 6 o'clock at night, ministering to people. And we minister every Wednesday on Blog Talk Radio and every Friday. Now, friends, if you participate, you will get free. You're not going to get free just sitting and listening. You have to participate. Last week, Dr. Sabrina, she was ministering to a lady on the radio. I forgot what it was about.
Which one?
The one that the other lady got healed. You were praying for someone and another one called in and got healed.
Yeah, it was about skin.
It was about her skin breaking up. And so Dr. Sabrina said, and I take authority over everyone that's listening, their skin, da-da-da-da-da, and prayed. And a woman called in, and she said she couldn't get in, and she was hoping that God would hear her prayer. Well, see, when we're praying deliverance, if we tell the person to cough, to say a prayer, to take a deep breath, if you do it right where you are, you'll get deliverance too. And so it's not a passive. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus, and his word is sufficient for us, and it works for you as well as us. Now, I'm going back over. Let me just quickly look up on the chat room. Is there anything I need to make sight of up here?
There was a person, God is gracious, asked, if there isn't a church local, can a person evangelize, or does it have to be two? And I told them that a believer can.
They can't hear you. Your mom, this is when you talk, it's for the camp.
And I said that a believer can give their testimony and witness as directed by the scripture and or the unction of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. What she said was that you can give your testimony by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And giving testimonies up on the chat room is good, too, because there are people up there that read your testimonies. But see, when you give a testimony on the chat room, the people that are looking, listening on their car radios, they can't hear you. And so that's why when I say, Dr. Sabrina, put the phone number up on the chat room, and then I come up and I tell you the phone number and out loud, and that's for people that are not on the chat room. You have to be on the computer to be on the chat room. And we welcome everyone to come up that wants to be there. So the number is 805-292-0300. And we are going to go look for our co-host. I think I can. Come on up. Come up. In the name of, there he is. This has got to be Marshall. Yay.
God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ Jesus.
Oh, Marshall, you do glory in the cross.
It's awesome.
Happy to see you again.
We're glad that you're able to come with, be with us again.
And I'm glad that the Lord is in you, Pat, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the strength because he gives you his strength. So I, just in case I need to pull anything down, I do. I understand what you were saying before, that you are a human being, a gorgeous hunk of dust, and that you have certain physical limitations in the natural. But anyway, I don't want you to limit yourself from something you said earlier. That's all.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just a human being, and I do a lot of things that I never knew I could do, but God helps me.
I think you're doing great.
And I'll try it, you know. But glory to God, it's nice to have you up here again.
Thank you. I just want to share a quick verse or two fitting in with what Dr. Sabrina said. You know, and there are some of us who think we're already free, and we may be in some areas, but there may be a couple other areas we could be a little freer. So from John chapter 8, 31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, this goes for people who aren't Jewish too, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So I heard a testimony from a brother who became a brother. He had been a Catholic priest, and somebody slipped him a copy of the King James Bible, and he got into that, and he went through all kinds of deprogramming and all the rest of it from the Jesuits, and he came out of all of that miraculously because he was a disciple indeed. He wanted to know the Lord. So I just wanted to put that out there, that it's available for anybody.
That's a good thing because of the fact, I liked what you said, he was a Catholic and he got deprogrammed when he started reading the King James Version, because that's exactly what it does. It deprograms you from all of that stuff that you learned in the world and under the false ministers. That's very good. Marshall?
Yep. And by the way, Pat, I have something. You know, I've heard for a long time, I'm sure if I looked I can find it. I haven't found it right away, but how the Holy Ghost, he didn't come to glorify himself. He's always pointing to Jesus.
I don't know.
You know, and how Jesus is always pointing to the Father. He said, apart from the Father, I can do nothing. Just like he said to us, apart from me, you can do nothing. So he was always dependent on his Heavenly Father. And I came across a couple of verses recently in just the last couple of weeks that I haven't fleshed out yet, but that there's at least two witnesses, so it's at least two places in Scripture. And I'm just going to read you one of them here, and one of them is from Matthew 11:27. Jesus speaking, red letters. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Now, isn't that amazing? Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And that's confirmed, I think it's in Luke chapter 10, verse 22. It's the same thing, basically. But I'm just going to read it again because it's so different from anything I've heard. I mean, I must have read it before. You were talking about how sometimes verse jumps off the Bible at you, like, wow, I never read that before, but you had. but it's like it means something new to you. Because, I mean, you know, that's the whole journey here, is getting to know the Lord. And this is really astonishing, because he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then I thought about how, you know, Peter got revelation from the Father in Matthew 16. You know, Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, that he's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, except my Father which is in heaven. So Father God gives us those revelations, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the revelations that Father God gives to the body of Christ. And it's amazing. But anyway, I don't fully understand all that, but I just thought I'd put it out there to give people something to chew on, because it's challenging. You know, and when you fit that in with the different verses, like in John chapter 17, there's a bunch of them. John 17, verse 3, you know, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. I'm like, wait a minute. Now we're supposed to know Jesus, but he says nobody knows Jesus but the Father. So I'm not as clear as I'd like to be. But anyway, but Jesus did say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So I'm working on it here. And maybe you can help me with this, but
you know, Marshall, I wrote a book on the gifts of the Spirit, mm-hmm. or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that book fleshes out how the Holy Spirit works naturally with a person, and when you study that book, what happens is, it helps the person to discern also the difference between the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what's going on in the churches today. And so the Holy Spirit lifts up Jesus. He never came. In fact, when you see Jesus getting baptized, it was the Holy Spirit that descended from heaven, which means that the Holy Spirit came down and descended into Jesus. And Jesus did all of the miracles on this earth by the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus was just a man in the flesh until God anointed him supernaturally to do those gifts. And I know a lot of people don't understand that. But you see, if Jesus came in the flesh, he came to show us how to live in the flesh as a man. And so when he was tempted up on the mountain by the devil, he played the word of God back to the devil, and he defeated the devil with the word of God, which is what we teach people to do. Just find the scripture and say the word. So throughout Jesus' life, the power and the anointing of the gifts came when he was baptized. He never did a miracle. He turned the bread into wine. The water into, my mind's already down the road, the water into wine, his ministry did not start until after he sought the presence of the Lord up on the mountain for 40 days. Find out, what did you want me to do, Father? What am I going to do? Here I am. He fasted 40 days. And then after the fast and the ministration of the Father, then he has the Holy Ghost in him from the baptism. The devil comes and tempts him, and he defeated him with a word. And that's the way we defeat the word, the devil. It comes from the superior supernatural power. And that power comes from the throne of God, or it comes from the devil's throne. So it's important that we learn that whatever we do, that it comes from His name, and He's the one that's delivering that power. Now, I teach the people up here, if somebody, well, when the disciples, whenever they were walking around with Him, He chose them to do the miracles. Remember that? He said, you can do this in my name. And they went around and they preached and they cast out devils and they healed the sick before the Holy Ghost ever came. Why did He say, receive ye the Holy Ghost when He breathed on them, when He resurrected from the grave? It was the first breath was for their spirit to come alive to the things of God. They were the first born again people on the earth. Then, whenever He resurrected from the grave and going to hell, and He came and He said to them, do not leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from above. That's two different. He told them, receive the Holy Ghost twice. And so that second time, what was that power? Because they were already casting devils out in His name, right? The power that they received in the upper room was the power to be able to lift the name of Jesus Christ up to the point of death, if need be. Because after they received the Holy Spirit, they knew that what they had received was the Holy Spirit in them, and that it was supernatural and eternal. And so they knew they were going to live forever. And so the power of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament is He's our teacher. He'll lead us into all truth. And over in John 14, He will not speak of Himself. I don't know exactly the verse, but I think it's John 14 and also over in John 16. He will lead us into all truth and teach us all things, but He will not speak of Himself. And see, this was one of the ways that the Lord taught me to discern that there was a different spirit going around, because the people turning everybody to the Holy Ghost. And they would come into meetings and they'd say, have you got the Holy Ghost? And they'd say, no. And they'd take them in the back and they'd teach them to talk in tongues. And the Lord, I was a baby Christian when He taught me this. He said, see, He said, they have not told them to repent and receive Jesus. And so I knew from the early days that there were a lot of people walking around talking in tongues that were not the tongues of the God, because you have to be born again before you get the Holy Spirit. That Jesus is the baptizer. And so, but then after they began their public ministries, they would talk about the Holy Spirit this and the Holy Spirit that, and they never talked about Jesus. And see, the Lord told me, He said, Pat, I can't save anyone. I was shocked. I said, what do you mean? He said, I didn't die on the cross for them. He said, Jesus is their Savior. And if they don't get pointed to Jesus, and if they get pointed to the Holy Ghost or the figure called God, they can bust hell wide open. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
And so that's that. But he showed me that as a little baby Christian, and I've even seen him. I saw a woman one time. She was trying to lead a woman in a meeting to the Holy Ghost, and she says, "Just say do re mi fa sol la ti do," and the woman did, and she said, "You've got it." And they always referred to the Holy Ghost as an it, too. So, you know, we have to be reverent to God, but God wants us to get it. He wants us to get the message. He wants us to know that Jesus is the center and that we'll not find anything apart from the Lord. That's what he wants us to know. And if you can find that out, you'll make it. We do have some calls. Do you have any more that you want to share, Brother Marshall?
Well, sometime we'll share on it tomorrow, but there's a lot in the book about how Jesus came to reveal the name of his Father. You know, it's in several places, including the last verse of John 17, many places. But we can talk about that later. But I think the understanding of God is not an intellectual one. It's a it's a spiritual one. It's a relationship. But I think Jesus is Paul. Always he's pointing to his heavenly Father. He wants us to know the Father. And how much we know the Lord himself, I'm not quite sure. I, you know, my last several decades, I kept thinking the whole emphasis was on knowing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But it does say the Father's looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, I mean, Jesus said that. So anyway, I'm still in process.
He told us to pray in the name of the Father. That's what he told us. We don't pray...
To pray to the Father in Jesus' name, yes.
Yeah, but we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. So we don't pray... So he includes his Father. He included him when he would separate and go up into the mountains and fellowship with the Father. And there's a lot of stuff in there about the Father. And but my point was that we don't the Holy, and your point originally was that we don't hold the Holy Spirit is not the one that we pray for. He's the one that teaches us, and he inspires us when we get in the Word. I mean, I believe the Holy Spirit is the one that those scriptures jump out to you when you say, "Hey, I never saw that before." But we do have some callers today. And so let's get... Go ahead. Okay. Let's get to this first caller. Okay. 206, you're on the air.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, my name is Tricia, and I'm calling because I called in about a couple months ago and got deliverance, and it made a wonderful difference in my life. The challenge I'm having is that I'm getting ready. I'm seeking God because I'm getting ready to go through a divorce, or I'm praying about going through the divorce because my husband, he's been cheating and stuff, and he doesn't want to accept the fact that he feels like he's stuck with me, which lets me know that it's not love. And so he says he doesn't want to serve the God that I serve and that I serve Satan and stuff. And so there's just been a lot of clashing and him attacking my spirituality and stuff. And so
let me ask
a week
this.
Uh-huh.
Where have you been since you got deliverance several months ago?
Meaning, like, fellowship or what?
I mean, have you been back here?
No, I have not. I have not been back on the line. It's been about a month ago, I think, and I have not been back on the line.
Okay. Now, see, this is what we're trying to teach the people, and we're going to try to teach you today. You don't get deliverance, okay, and then just go away and don't learn how to keep your deliverance and don't learn anything because of the fact that deliverance is the door opens for you. But then after the door opens for you, you have to learn to walk your deliverance out in fear and trembling. And you learn that through teaching. Now, it's very, very difficult to live with a man that is not a believer. I lived with a man, my husband, for 33 years, and he was not a believer. I became a believer probably, 33 years. There were years before that that we were both unbelievers. But when I became a believer, your spirit is different than his spirit. But God has made many provisions for women to live with a husband that's not a believer. And one of the ways is, according to, I think it's 1 Corinthians, that you don't lord it over your husband that you know God and he doesn't. You're supposed to walk before your husband very quietly. And what is supposed to draw him to your God is the change in your personality and in your character. And so you don't throw God up in front of his face all the time. You follow your husband as unto the Lord. In other words, as long as he's not asking you to do perverse things and ungodly things, you follow your husband. But if he asks you to do ungodly things, then you say no, that you don't do that. But there are things that you learn to be a housewife that's married to a guy that's not a believer. Now, I've written a book, two books. One is called Marriage and Sex, and the other one is Chart Books to Marriage. And you can find those books up on MiracleInternetChurch.com. They're not up on Amazon.
Okay.
And you take those kind of things and you start studying them. And when you study them, the Lord will take them and he will show you how to work with your husband, even if you're saved and he's not saved. And I've often believed that the Lord let me live with my husband those many years to teach me that it can be done, that you don't have to get a divorce. But in order to do that, he had to teach me spiritual warfare. He had to teach me how to bind the demons wanted to take over the house. I would spend time in prayer before my husband ever came home, and I would bind every devil and forbid them to come into the house. If my husband started losing his temper or doing something funky, I would just go into the bathroom and pray and bind those spirits up. All of these little things that the Lord taught me. And so you don't just get deliverance and go away for a month. You should have been listening to this show every night and every chance you get. Or if you can't listen to it at nighttime, recast it. Because that's where you learn to walk as a Christian, is right here. You're not going to learn them in most of your churches. So I'm just telling you this, not only for you, but for the other people. We've had hundreds of people that come up and get deliverance, and they feel great, and they think it's all over. That's just a beginning, because Jesus wants you to learn how to walk and be a Christian. It's like Brother Marshall, he was a Christian for years. He'll tell you about it. But even after being a Christian for years, he had to learn that he had to do certain things himself. He had to get rid of the demons. And then he had to change the way he treated his wife and his family. He had things in his personality that, to him, it was normal. That's the way his family was. But then after he got delivered, then he had to learn, now, Marshall, you can't be angry anymore. You need to repent for that, and things like that. And so I'm going to let him talk to you about that for a few minutes, Marshall.
Okay.
You tell me to read 1 Corinthians 6.
Read 1 Corinthians
7.
Go ahead, Marshall. The Christian walk is a whole bunch of just getting to know the Lord, and he often puts husbands and wives together because it's like iron sharpening iron. You know, everybody initially thinks, well, I'm getting married so I can live happily ever after and have a romantic forever, and it may be that way to some degree, but I think the Lord uses our spouse to show us ourselves, just like he uses the Word. When you get into the Word, you know, and it's like a mirror. You get to say, well, how do I compare with what the Lord wants me to be? And then I start saying, oh, I've fallen short here, Lord. I get to repent. Oh, well, maybe that's really not me. I need to cast that thing out. And Pat was absolutely right. I had a spirit of rage, blind rage, that had come into me before I was a Christian. And I repented of known sins, all sins that I knew about, and I confessed with my mouth and believed in my heart on Jesus, and I asked for the Holy Spirit, and I spoke in other tongues, and I had a new hunger for the Word. I'd never had it before, and of course, the first 20 years or so, I was in a lot of the strange Bibles. I wasn't into the King James, so I didn't really get the real thing, but I got a paraphrase version at the best. But anyway, it wasn't until I went through our first deliverance session that I began to realize there was a lot of garbage in me that had to go. And when it goes, we have to learn how to keep it out, because it says, you know, if the house is swept and garnished, that the, you know, somewhere in Luke it says that the enemy, and it's other places, but it says the enemy wants to come back because he thinks it's his house, because it's like having a rat that lived in your kitchen. Now you get rid of it, but it wants to come back in. It's, you know, especially the winter comes, it gets cool outside. He says, well, it's nice and cozy in there. I want to come back in. They got food lying around. No, so that we have to learn how to resist it. Because I remember 2 years after I went through deliverance, and somebody said something about something, and the old man started to rip itself up off the cross. You know, I was crucified with Christ. Well, I started to resurrect the old man again, and I was like, oh, that. To my wife, that mother of yours, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden I reached for the handbrake, because there I was hurtling down the slippery slope, and I reached for the handbrake, and I said, Father, I repent in Jesus' name, because that's what it is. I was going backwards, and I was going back to living the old way that I had as a carnal Christian for decades, and I didn't understand that you know, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. You know, that's in the King James, but all the others, the NIV, they throw away the second half of Romans 8:1 and stuff. It's in verse 4, but most people don't get down to verse 4. The point is, I'm still learning. I'm just, you know, I may have been introduced to the Lord a while ago, but I don't know him like I'm going to know him 150 years from now or 1,000 years from now, you know. So the bottom line is, I went through deliverance. I went for my daughter, our older daughter especially, and she was wonderfully delivered of all kinds of things, and that was 10 years ago, and all the allergies left, and it's wonderful. She was healed, and I was healed of a whole bunch of stuff. But the fringe benefit of going for this deliverance session was that my wife and I, our marriage had been on the rocks for 10 years. We were like two ships passing in the night. We hardly gave each other the time of day. And yes, we were starting to spend some money and trying to, you know, go to a Christian marriage counselor, quote unquote. And guess what? It did diddly. Did hardly anything except make the marriage counselor's bank account a little healthier. You know, we would talk, spend $90 or something to talk for 40 minutes or 50 minutes or whatever it was. But we weren't really connecting. It wasn't until we both got to examine our own hearts, you know, with the Holy Spirit helping us, shining the light of the Word on our own path, that we've been, whoops, am I on the right path, or have I gone into the wide path, or I'm not in the narrow path anymore? I got to examine my own heart, and I got to say, oh, you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Have I ever let the sun go down on my anger? Well, how many times? you know, all that, all those kind of things. I got to examine my own heart and find out that there was some garbage in me, spiritual garbage, that I had to get rid of. You know, just like Jesus would talk to the Pharisees, you know, outwardly you appear righteous, but inwardly you're full of dead man's bones and ravenings and wickedness. Well, you know, people that didn't know me very well might have thought, yeah, he's a pretty nice guy. But they didn't really know what was in my heart. Only God knows what's in each individual person's heart. And it's only when the Holy Spirit gets to reveal some of that stuff to you and you have the opportunity, because he brings conviction. And then mm-hmm. I got to repent. And you can't change your husband. Only God.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I can't, I wasn't, you know, I have to leave my wife in the Lord's hands. I can't change her. Just like I can't even really change myself. But I have to take responsibility for my own actions and which path I've chosen to take. Anyway, 10 years ago we went to a deliverance thing, and we've been several times. And but our marriage was put back together. Not that we were like lovebirds and going in the love canal and singing songs to one another, but we were best friends again. The hatred and the animosity and the nasty spirits. You see people play ping pong in the natural. Well, we were people like playing ping pong with fiery darts. We knew each other's weaknesses very, very well after decades. And I attribute a lot of the Lord's dealing with both of us to a little magnet we still have on our refrigerator that says, you know, never put a period where God has put a comma. So, I mean, you know, God is into punctuation as well as grammar and everything else. And he likes it. And by the way, if you're reading the Corinthians thing, you might want to read, if you haven't read it recently, read the first part of Mark chapter 10, at least the first 12 verses. It helps put mm-hmm. things in perspective. Because I went with a pastor once to minister to a wonderful lady, and she was a pastor in her own right. But she was dying at age 40 of terrible cancer. But this pastor that went to minister to her, he knew the Word of God, and he knew Jesus, and he knew that if we did it according to God's Word, that this woman was guaranteed to be healed. But what we didn't both realize was that she had to make sure, because she was a pastor, everybody figured she knew the Word.
Right.
But was she living it herself? She was divorced twice over, and I don't know if she'd actually repented. Because, you know, and because she remarried, not the same man, she remarried other people. And the scripture there in Mark chapter 10 talks about what the Lord thinks about that. And I know it's not very popular, and it certainly doesn't fit in with today's normal ideas in the Christian church. And I'm not here to condemn anyone. But I think we need to line ourselves up with his perspective. And he does give us the ministry of reconciliation. And so my wife and I have become best friends again. Is it absolutely everything wonderful and perfect? No, but neither of us wanted to get divorced. And maybe your husband does, and if he does and doesn't know the Lord, well, then that's up to him. You know. But for you, you have to decide what does the Lord want you to do, and that's up to you. But you need to examine his word and examine your own heart. And I just want to say that it's out there. It's available. That you actually don't have a you may not know this, and this is something I have a problem with still sometimes, because I look at people and I say my problems with that person. But no, I don't have a problem with the person. I may have a problem with some of the spirits in that person. Okay, and I have to, and the Lord is, where if we're walking with him, we can bind those spirits, like Pat was talking about with her husband all those years. She would bind the spirits that were trying to operate through him when he didn't know the Lord, and you have a power and authority to do that. You don't do it in front of his face, but you can do that, and things change. Things can change in your home. So anyway, that's it. In a nutshell, if you're doing it his way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And, you know, all those spirits of resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness and the spirits of rejection, they're very real. You know, Jesus was rejected. He was... You know, he was betrayed, and the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, he gave thanks. Imagine giving thanks when you're betrayed. But, I mean, Jesus, you know, he lives in a way that isn't carnal. It isn't, you know, he didn't sin in any way. So he's a very high standard, and I'm not saying I've reached it. but the Lord's teaching me, and if he's teaching me, I'm sure he'll teach all of us that want to be taught. So enough of that.
Yes. This is my second marriage. My first marriage was 24 years. I've been in this one for 2.5. And my first marriage, my husband was abusive. And so, you know, in this marriage, you know, we're supposed to be in ministry and stuff. And he came up Jehovah's Witness, but he's a Christian now. He knows the word and everything like that. But it's almost like the last 6 months something changed, and it's just like he's trying so hard, or, you know, the Lord showed me that I'm not fighting against him but against principalities, but that's what I'm coming up against, because he is trying so hard not to, it's like he's rebelling. And so, like, 2 days ago, I found Viagra pills, because he can't, you know, he's trying so hard to go out there and do something with someone else because he feels like he's stuck with me. He went and got Viagra pills.
Let me say something to you, honey.
Uh-huh.
The church is full of stuff like that today. But that's where, that's why we were telling you to come back so,
okay,
that,
yes,
we
can, yes,
so that we can be praying for that situation in him and binding those devils up. Those are devils that are driving him. And
mm-hmm.
he probably wants to be the way he used to be. But if somebody commits adultery or does something, their spirit changes in them because a demon comes inside of them. And they're not
mm-hmm.
going to be able to change unless they get deliverance. So that's what we were that's what Brother Marshall was trying to say to you. It comes through prayer and fasting on your part, but it also comes from the point that, Sabrina, come over. It comes to the point that you have to take care of your own spirit and do what God tells you to do, and you could probably need more deliverance yourself coming up from the form of marriage and the things that you're talking about. So, Dr. Sabrina, what?
Sister, you have a pencil and paper?
I do.
Okay. Exodus 14:14.
Exodus 14:14. Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 5:20-22.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 3:18.
Colossians 3:18. Oh.
Hebrews 13:17.
Got it.
Okay, you have to understand that you have a covenant of marriage and that God is a part of that covenant. The covenant is between God, your husband, and yourself. And if he has stepped out on you, then he's violated the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a right to go to God on behalf of the covenant. You have a right to approach God on behalf of the covenant. You understand that?
Yes.
God is not a truth breaker. He's not a covenant breaker. You have a right to ask God to protect the covenant. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I didn't do that. Okay.
Okay, well, that, you have a right.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Christian, you're married to a Christian, you have a right to go to God and ask him to protect that covenant. You have a right to ask God to take action on behalf of your covenant. He's the advocate, he is the just God. All his judgments are just, the Bible says. You have a right to ask Jesus to adjudicate on behalf of your covenant. You have that right. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes, yes.
What do you think I'm saying?
Well, that I have a right to go to God and ask. Well, what I've been going to then ask him is to balance the scales of justice, and that you know, I prayed and the Lord told me, you know, and I prayed about him going out and messing around. And so he has not been able to mess around. So because he couldn't, he wasn't satisfied with that. He went out and about a month ago in July, he ordered some Viagra off the internet. So I don't really know that he is.
Honey, here's what you've got to do. If you want to live with your husband, okay, we've got to first bind the demons up in him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the first step that you've got to do. Mm-hmm. And the second step that you have to do is when we get the demons bound up in your husband. And you are praying, if you want your marriage to last, you need to forgive him for what he's done and what he's doing. You need to put him into God's hand. And then you need to, after the foundation of prayer has been made for him, then you have to say, I want you to come and listen to this program with us, with me. It's one chance that maybe we can save our marriage and our souls. And be right up front with him. Don't be accusing him. Just say, look, I love you. I forgive you for what you've done. God wants to forgive you. You have to forgive yourself. But what you have to do is you are going to have to repent and get deliverance. And I know where to take you to get deliverance. And let him make that decision. But before you can get to that spot of asking him to come, the foundations of prayer have to be made in his behalf of binding those devils that he's walking with and asking God to convict him of his sin and ask God that he can have no pleasure at all in his sin life. Now, you want to pray that away?
Yes.
Right now. Do you want to pray that away?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, Lord Jesus, we come to your throne in behalf of, what's his first name?
Vincent.
We ask that we put him in your hands. And we ask you, God, that you convict him of this sin that he's doing. Satan, he's a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has served Jesus in the past, and I bind all of your devils. We come against Asmodeus, Osmodeus, Abaddon, Apollyon, Beelzebub. We come against the spirit of rebellion. We come against that spirit of sex and perversion, whoredom, lust. All oral sex, sodomy sex, anything that you have made him do, and in the name of Jesus, running after harlots, we take authority over any harlots that he's been with, and we disconnect him from those harlots, and we ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you take away the garlands. In Jesus' name, that you cut them right now. And all of those spirits are bound and caged, and they cannot come and torment him in any way. And Father God, we loose your conviction over him. We ask you, God, for your grace. We ask you, God, to do whatever you have to do to get him. We forbid the demons right now from taking him and driving him away from his home. We bind all of those devils up. Now, I want you to say with me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I forgive him.
I forgive him.
I ask you to forgive him.
I ask you to forgive him.
And I ask you to save our marriage.
And I ask you to save our marriage.
Lord, you know how to rekindle a heart.
Lord, you know how to rekindle our hearts.
And I know that if you will convict him. And forgive him.
And forgive him.
And if he will return.
And if he will return.
To you. That you can heal our marriage. So, Lord, I ask that you send warring angels to surround him. And that they will play the word of God over him day and night. And I ask you, God, that you bring workers in the field. That will witness to him. And minister to him. And I ask you, Father. That you will give him supernatural dreams. Or supernatural experiences. That he will remember you. I ask that you break his heart. That he must seek you. Because you are the heart mender. Now, Lord Jesus, I put the blood of Jesus between him. And any women. Or any, if there are no men, are there? You don't know.
No.
Okay. In Jesus' name. And we ask you that you build a fire of the Holy Ghost around him. And separate him from the things of the world. And convict him of his sin. Now, Lord, I lift myself up to you. I ask you to convict me of my sin. I forgive him.
I forgive myself.
And I ask that you will forgive those women. And save their souls. Now, Lord, I have a wall of fire around me. And the blood of Jesus. Between me. And those women. If there's any witches involved. That are praying against our marriage. Or any water agents. I put the blood of Jesus between me and them and my husband and them. And I break their power. Over my marriage. And my heart. And my husband's heart. And all witchcraft garlands. Are broken off of him. And I command every devil in my house. To go into a cage. In Jesus' name. I blind you. Confuse you.
confuse you.
And deafen you.
And deafen you.
And you can no longer take anything from the spirit realm into my house.
And you can no longer take anything from the spirit realm into my house.
I sanctify my house with the blood of Jesus right now.
I sanctify my house with the blood of Jesus right now.
And I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you take these devils.
And I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you take these devils.
And you take them to the feet of Jesus.
And you take them to the feet of Jesus.
For touching children of God.
For touching children of God.
Now, what I want you to do is I want you to play the Word of God in your house every day. Play it at night. You don't have to play it just blatant all over the place. Just play it real calmly. Devils hate that. And I want you to pray for that husband every day. And I want you to say, Lord Jesus, teach my husband to love me again and to love you. And convict him of sin. And teach me to love him and convict me of sin. Now, I command the spirit of divorce right now to be bound. And I command that thing to come out of this sister in the name of Jesus. I bind all of the abusive spirits in Jesus' name. All spirits that have come to rob, kill, steal from this marriage, you are bound. You will release her. I command all hurt, the wounded spirit right now, to be healed in the name of Jesus. And every word that's been spoken that has hurt her spirit, her soul, her body, all of those wounded spirits, I bind you up right now. And you come out of her. The Bible says, a wounded spirit who can bear. Now you come out of her instantly.
Oppression.
So let her go. Let me hear it coughed out. Cough it out. That wound spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. Now, do you want your marriage to survive?
Not if he doesn't want to.
No, that's not the answer, honey.
Okay.
What do you want?
I love him, and if he'll change, I will stay with him.
Okay, now here's what the attitude is, okay? You said the proper words, I love him, but you have to trust that God is going to change him. As you pray
and
for
not
him.
Me.
And you're not going to change him. You're going to do little things for him that you haven't done for him in years. You're going to say, honey, I cooked you the best chicken just like you liked it because I was thinking about it last night. And I'm going to tell you, I love you. And I'm going to fight for our marriage. And don't talk to him about changing or nothing. You just say, I love you, I forgive you, and I don't want our marriage to crumble. That's what you're going to do. And then you're going to put your hand to the plow. You're going to come up on Blog Talk and ask for prayer for him. And you're going to pray for him in the meantime. And you're going to learn some things that you need to know. Okay?
Yeah.
Mr. Brandon.
The Bible says, sister, we were talking earlier about Isaiah 58.
Yes.
In studying that chapter, when you fast, it says that you have to stop putting forth the finger and speaking vanity. That means you can't go around blaming him for this, that, and the other, and blaming the in-laws, and blaming this, and blaming that, and blaming the other. That whole conversation has to cease and desist. You can't go around just saying idle words. You have to actually talk the scriptures. You are in a warfare. This is not lollygag time. If you want to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ, you are in a warfare. And this is not lollygag time. This is not the time to be on the phone with the relatives gossiping about your marriage. This is not the time to be gossiping to anybody. This is not the time for you to criticize anyone. This is not the time for you to judge anybody. This is the time for you to get humble before Jesus Christ and let him teach you how to be a godly wife in this situation and to correct the attitudes that you have wrong. Yeah. The question should be, Lord Jesus, where am I wrong? Show me my sin. Show me the mote in my eye. You can't correct anybody until Jesus corrects you. The Bible says when our obedience is fulfilled, then we take vengeance on all disobedience, but not before then. You need to get before God, and it's not a matter of I'll do this if he'll do that. No, that's not what your vows said when you stood before the Lord. You made your vows to God. You promised God you would love him. You would be faithful. You would do the following. You would do. You help you to go back and review what your vows were.
Well, let me say something to you. You know, I ministered to a lady one time, and she was living with an abusive husband. And she kept trying to keep the marriage together, and she was in the same situation, type of a situation you're in. And finally, she just broke down before the Lord, and she said, Lord, I just can't take it anymore. I cannot do it. I cannot love him. She said, I hate him. And the Lord told her, he says, love him through me. He said, let me love him through you. And that's where it is, because he feels that you don't love him. So and he's guilty, and you're never going to forgive him, and that whether it's true or not, that's what he thinks. So you have to be the first one, since you're the spiritual one, to stand up and say, Lord, I want to fight for my marriage. Mm-hmm. And what you have to do is you have to do it through fasting, prayer, and keeping your spirit under subjection to Jesus.
That's right.
And the best way you can do it is just what I told you. Come back up next week. We'll pray again. Okay?
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Sister?
Okay.
She's
gone, Marcia.
Okay.
She's gone.
I don't know if Tracy can still hear me or not. Just a quick thing, Tracy. I just wanted to encourage you to read the last verse of Ephesians 5. It's 5:33. I think what it is a spirit of unloving, because it says about husbands love their wives even as themselves. If he can't love himself, he can't love you. So it's an unloving spirit. It needs to be bound in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit of unloving trying to operate through Vincent in Jesus' name. And also, I wanted to encourage you, there was a woman whose husband got really mad at her, and he went out, and the devil had, he was a pastor, and the devil had legal right to kill him, and he did. But the woman stood on a verse in Hebrews 11:35. It says, women receive their dead raised to life again. So this woman stood on that verse, and he was literally dead for 4 days, 3 or 4 days, and been embalmed and everything, and he came back to life. Because she said, I'm not going to let him leave me like that. Because she was concerned that he might not even make heaven, which apparently is exactly what was about to happen. He was going to spend eternity in hell. But she interceded on his behalf. And he came, he was resurrected from the dead, and he repented to her, to the Father, and in Jesus' name. And their marriage continues. And his life continues, and he has an opportunity to go to heaven if he continues to walk with the Lord. So I just wanted to encourage you. You may be fighting for his salvation.
Oh, shit. See, that's the whole thing, is you got to be concerned for his soul. And the Lord got my husband truly about 3 weeks before he died. I went through a lot of wonderful things with my husband. But I went through a lot of bad things with him, too. And whenever those demons would rise up, I would just go on a fast and start praying and binding. And I believe that if I hadn't stood with Jesus for my husband, he'd be burning in hell today. So that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with more than what you think. And the devil is just trying to steal his soul. We have another call. Marshall, 706, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, my gosh. I just discovered your blog radio show a couple of days ago, actually, and I listened to a couple of the, you know, archive recordings, and I just had to get in, you know, tune in this Friday because I am just another person who is suffering from eczema, and my situation is just bizarre. No one in my family but me has it, and I've been suffering often. All of my life. I don't know if I think I was born with it because I also was born with asthma, and I've had that as a child, and I had eczema just around, you know, inside the elbows and inside the armpits and the behind of the knees. But as I grew older...
Sister, not long ago, my daughter was breaking out with that stuff, and Marshall prayed for her, and it went away. And so, Marshall, wanted to pray for this sister.
Sister, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Can I ask what your first name is?
Diane.
Okay, Diane. I would suggest you pray something like this first, if you're comfortable doing that. And, you know, you can change it if the Holy Spirit or you feel led to do so. Father God.
Okay. Father God.
I come to you.
I come to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I ask Father.
And I ask Father.
That the Lord Jesus.
That the Lord Jesus.
Will show me.
Me,
If there's anything that he wants me to turn from and change.
That he wants me to turn from or change.
And anything he wants me to repent of.
Anything that he wants me to repent of.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Lord. And Father.
And Father.
I stand in for my generations.
I stand in for my generations.
Above my mother and father's side of my family.
Above my mother and father's side of family.
On both sides of the family.
On both sides of the family.
Going back 10 generations.
Going back 10 generations.
And ask you to forgive me and my generations.
And I ask you to forgive me and my generations.
Of all sins.
Of all sins.
And iniquities.
And iniquities.
Including.
Including.
But not limited.
But not limited.
To fear of abandonment.
To fear of abandonment.
Please forgive us and deliver us.
Please forgive us and deliver us.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, sister, I believe you've accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Is that true?
Yes, sir. I've been saved since I was a young teenager, and I am now 49.
Okay,
and
you're a mature teenager.
I'm a single parent, believe it or not. I've never been married, and I have adopted a daughter. I used to do foster care, and I adopted this little baby. I got her at 3 days old, and I adopted her, and she's now 10. And I'm just enjoying life. I don't
Praise
know if I'll ever get married, although I want to, but this is the thing that's been really plaguing me. I feel like I'm ashamed of my body because of it's right now I'm broken out all over, except for my face and neck. It's all over my back, my arms, my legs, and it's excruciating, dry, itchy, and it causes me like to scratch a lot and bleed, and it's also it's like it's almost like it's an attack. It came out of nowhere, and it comes and goes. So.
Well, Jesus made it pretty clear that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen?
Yes, amen.
That's what it says in the Gospel of John, chapter 10.
Yes.
And it says also in the Gospel of Matthew, 18:19, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them, my Father which is in heaven. So, Diane and I come before you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name because of the blood of the covenant, because this sister claims faith in the Lord Jesus and what he's done for her on Calvary, and he paid the full price, for by his stripes she already was healed. Father, we ask you to manifest that in her body now that she's repented of sins, Father. I ask you to send your word and make her every whit whole. I ask you to do a creative miracle and restore her skin, Father, every way, in everything connected to it, and remove every ungodly spirit, every spirit of infirmity. I bind you, command you to rend nothing, harm no one on the way, loose, and never return. Go into the cage immediately, instantly, and never return. And I bind you with supernatural fetters and command you to be brought before the feet of Jesus to be judged before the time. You may not speak to her any longer in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for sending your word and healing her and restoring her and making her completely whole and healthy in Jesus' name, according to your promise in Matthew 18:19, because Jesus said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So, Father, I ask you to make her completely healthy and whole, and the curse causeless shall not come. She's repented of sins, has no legal right, they may not return in Jesus' name. Those ungodly spirits may not return. So I thank you, Father, for sending your word and making her healthy and whole. And we give you all the honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. So, sister, just say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For sending your word and healing me.
For what?
For sending your word.
For sending your word.
And healing me.
And healing me.
And making me completely whole.
And making me completely whole.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay.
Now, sister, I just also want to remind you, the story about the lepers, it says there were 10 lepers that came to Jesus, and he prayed for them, and they were all healed, but only one was made whole, and he's the one who came back to thank the Lord. So I want to encourage you, before you see anything change, just keep thanking the Father in Jesus' name, because there's a bunch of scriptures. The one was Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. And there's another one in Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, O Lord, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise.
Okay.
He inhabits the praises
one.
Of his people. So just keep thanking him and praising him. And I guarantee on the word of the living God, it will manifest. I don't know how long or how quickly, you know, how long it takes for it to manifest. That's up to him, and that's up to you. But it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So it might help you to keep listening to the Blog Talk broadcast, because there's quite a bit of word that goes out here, listening to the archives. And it's a guarantee. There was a brother who had eczema his whole life for 40 years, and he just stood on the word, and he got completely healed. It took him almost 2 years, but he got completely healed so he could have children that wouldn't have it. Because before that, it was genetically passed on, but he got his spiritually cleaned, okay? So,
okay.
But I don't know if you listened to that talk from last time, but he had to ask the Lord, why did it take him so long? And the Lord told him, I didn't know you. He said, what do you mean you didn't know me? He said, you only spent 15 minutes of your day with me.
Wow.
You know? So we need to spend some serious time in the King James Bible, spend some time getting to really know the word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and you need to not just read it silently, but hear it out loud. Either read it to yourself or get it on CD or tape or MP3 player or download it or however you want to do it.
I can do
Thank
that.
Thank you for calling.
Sir.
Thanks. for calling.
Thank you.
And call us with your praise report.
I will. I just love this. This is such a blessing. Thank you.
I'll back on Wednesday. We got about four calls, Marshall. 111, you're on the air, and we've got about 10 minutes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, Pat. This is Irene. Hello?
We can hear you, Irene.
Yeah, okay. I talked to you last time about the allergy reaction that I had, and you pray for me, and it's much better. The pumps are much lighter and it's not itching as much, so I appreciate that. But I wanted to tell you that this program today is, again, exactly like ordered by the Lord for me, because everything that was prayed for the last two ladies, I mean, it's just what I was praying, and I was being healed and delivered, and the scriptures, I write them all down. And I have one request, one prayer, because I know that I have to seek my heart, and I have to take all the beams out of my eye in order to help somebody else that have the speck in there. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello? Yeah. And the reason is this. What I would like to get free about is that there is a compulsion because of the problems that I already shared that I had in my own relationship with my husband. Although we have a marriage that is very, very long, I mean, God has kept us together for more than 50 years. And I think we do love each other, but it's like there's a wedge of separation. So because of that, and I was feeling so lonely and kind of like, abandoned kind of in time and relationship, I have this compulsion of buying stuff, you know, and I buy stuff and then I don't have even the opportunity to really enjoy it, and I return it and they buy something else. And it's a compulsion of, like, I don't know, it's a feeling myself with something else. But of course I still stay with the Lord and I pray and I seek His face, but it's like I don't want to be in bondage to things that. And also, some self-determination
Honey, yeah. Let us pray for you, because we've got four other calls with about 10 minutes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up our sister before you, Lord God, and this compulsion and the root thereof and every artery thereof, in every path thereof, we take authority, dominion, and power from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus far above. We bind it, we cage it, we chain it in Jesus' name. We command it to come up and out of her from the root in Jesus' name. You can no longer remain. You've been uncovered. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of her from the root in Jesus' name. She has repented of her sin. The blood of Jesus covers her. We are in agreement that she must be set free. You have in Jesus' name. You can find no place and you may not return. We send you now to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your adjudication on this matter in Jesus' name. Father, we bind that unloving spirit that's resting in their marriage in Jesus' name. We cage it, chain it, mute it, muzzle it, and gag it, and strip it of power, and transfer that power back to Jesus Christ. We bind Asmodeus, Osmodeus, and every marine spirit that exists in their relationship in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you, Lord God, to show them the path of restoration, that the love that they once had for one another will be kindled in Christ. We thank you and we give you praise for the restoration of this relationship, Father, in Jesus' name. Every spirit that opposes it, we bind, cage, chain you, mute you, muzzle, gag you, and everything I've ever done to any demon be done to you now in Jesus' name. Come up and out. Coming up and out of both of them in the name of Jesus. You cannot remain in the relationship. We call for the holy covenant that Jesus established between them in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your adjudication in this matter. We give you praise. We give you glory. We lift up the name of Jesus. We say the blood of Jesus is smeared on this relationship in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless. Now ask the Holy Ghost to fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everything that has been cleansed, I ask you to fill me anew with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Now you call us back Wednesday, okay?
Thank you. I
God bless.
Try. Thank you.
Okay,
thank
honey.
You.
God
Bye-bye.
Bless.
The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you.
No. 972, you're on the air.
Hello, Pat. I am calling you because, I've had some interesting things happening as a result of taking communion every night, like you told me to do. And
that's awesome.
What?
Continue.
Okay, sorry. I couldn't figure out how to get the volume up on my phone there, so... Okay, something, I've been in bondage to the medical profession for a really long time, and I've been seeing homeopaths now for a couple of years, and what they've done for me, every now and then they will do something good, but I've just actually gotten worse and worse and worse, and since I started taking communion, I would just be praying to the Lord and asking him to deliver me from that, because... the stuff just was making me feel bad. I'd be taking the homeopathic drops and the stuff to get my adrenals fixed and the thyroid and all, and it would just make me feel bad. And I would go and complain, and they would try and give me something else. It would always the same thing. It would never make me feel good. So they gave me something the other day, and it made my heart, my chest pound, and my head pound, and I thought I was going to die from it. Honest to God, I thought I was going to die. So I had to be back in touch with them, and so they said, okay, go off all homeopathics, and I had really dreaded that because I thought it was just going to make me feel worse, you know, not having any hormones, not having the stuff for the glands, and... well, now it is 6 days later, and I feel quite a bit better without them. And I'm serious. And Sunday when I thought I was going to die, I said to Jesus, oh, Lord, you know, they gave me this stuff. If I'm going to die from this, I don't know I have no idea what to do. I quit taking this stuff, and it was still going on. I felt like my head was going to explode. I didn't have a headache. And my chest, it felt like it was whatever was in it was wanting to jump out. I was under so much oppression. It was horrible. And I couldn't get any help from the doctors either. They wouldn't see me the next day. There was no opening. And so anyway, so I'm seeing how God is helping me to step by step pull away from that. And I just would like prayer. I know there's other people wanting to have prayer, but I'd like to have prayer. I want to just be completely free from that bondage to these people from the medical profession. Because before I got very ill in 2004 and had two incurable situations going on, I rarely ever went to the doctor, and I feel like I turned into a hypochondriac, you know?
Okay,
I just want to
sister.
Yeah.
Number one, if you put something in your mouth and it doesn't taste good, don't you usually spit it out? Okay, well, that's the same reasoning. This isn't working for you. You just stop. Stop. It works. The word stop works. So now we're going to pray. You stop that, okay? We're not going to continue in a vein that does not work, right?
Exactly.
Okay, good. Now we're going to go on with Jesus because he's the healer, right?
Right.
Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift this sister to you and her situation. We thank you for your adjudication in this matter. We thank you, Father, for leading this sister and guiding her into all truth, just as the word of God declares. We take authority and dominion and power from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus over everything that she has taken into her body that is harmful to her. We bind it, we cage it, we chain it in the name of Jesus, and we command it to come up and out of her system now in Jesus' name. Everything harmful, everything toxic, everything intoxicating, everything evil, come up and out of her now in the name of Jesus. You may not remain. Hands up in the chat room, please. Come up and out of her now in the name of Jesus. Come up and out from the root in the name of Jesus. Father, Father, in the name of Jesus, all chemical spirits come out in the name of Jesus. All toxic substances, you come out in the name of Jesus. Father, our sister repents. Father, our sister repents of depending on something other than you and other than your holy word. We take authority and dominion over every spirit of sorcery, all alchemy, all spirits that are not of God, every poisoning, come up and out of her in the name of Jesus. Come out from the root in the name of Jesus. The Bible says nothing evil shall harm us. Come out. Come out. All of you. All of you come out at once. Holy fire on you in Jesus' name. Holy fire on every ungodly spirit in Jesus' name. Holy fire on every ungodly spirit. Every spirit that's rooted in the base of her spine, you come out in Jesus' name. The spirit of death, we bind and cage you. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The spirits, all dependency spirits, you come out in Jesus' name. All spirits rooted in the spine and in the neck, in the spinal column and in the neck and in the root to the brain canal, you come out in Jesus' name. Every demon rooted in the brain canal, you come out. Every spirit rooted in the hypothalamus, you come out in Jesus' name. You come out of her. You come out of her. We speak to her thyroid glands, her adrenal glands, her hypothalamus. We command you to obey the word of the Lord. Come into order with the creation of God. Come into God's order now. We command you now in the name of Jesus to come into God's order. Come into God's order. Every spirit opposing, we bind, cage, and chain you. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Come up and out of her. Lord Jesus, you are the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. We ask that you continue to take this sister through, complete her deliverance, and to then baptize her in the Holy Spirit with holy fire in Jesus' name, in your name. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Take a deep breath. Deep breath. Let the Holy Spirit come in. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes and two other calls. So
okay.
Would you call us back Wednesday? Thank you.
Okay.
And sister, and look
fast
up second.
Between now and then.
You can talk. She's gone, but you can talk. She's still.
Well,
ahead,
that's what it
is. Marsh.
If you can still hear me, sister, look up not Corinthians, but Chronicles in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 16:12. Look up 2 Chronicles 16:12 before now and next Wednesday.
Okay, 4:05, you're on the air.
I was calling to get prayer for my husband.
Okay.
Salvation, and I kind of feel like he's been going places that he shouldn't be going.
Oh. Okay, well, Brother Marshall, you got about 1 minute while we're still on the air, so would you pray for this husband?
Father, we come boldly and joyfully before your throne of grace for this sister's husband who's calling us this evening, Father. In Jesus' name, we ask you to fully deliver him. It's written in your word, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be delivered. You see, husband and wife is one. It says, because she set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver. I will set her on high because she has known my name. Lord, because she belongs to you, I ask you to deliver her husband fully in Jesus' name. And we're in agreement, and you said if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven. And as we're seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, I command there be no further flow or power of communication between the demons in the heavens and the demons on earth pertaining to this woman and her husband in Jesus' name from henceforth and forevermore. As I plead the blood of Jesus over each one in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that you send the Holy Ghost to convict her husband if he needs conviction, Father, and send the right people across his path. Send the proper laborers across his path that he needs to hear from, Father, and speak the words into his life that he needs in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you for doing so, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, and call us back this coming Wednesday, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. We have this. Hello? Come close to the phone.
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
I want to start a prayer, just so I can balance, like serving the Lord with my work.
Okay.
Amen.
Brother Marshall.
Well, Father, you heard her. I couldn't hear her that well, but I ask that you bring everything back into balance. I ask that you totally sozo this sister in Jesus' name. Save, heal, deliver, preserve, and make her every whit whole in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think it's Kasia.
Is it Kasia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's her. Brother Marshall, it's her.
Well, I had a hard time hearing you, Kasia.
Okay. Hello?
Call us back, Wednesday.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
You too.
Brother Marshall.
You too.
Okay. Brother Marshall, you want to pray us off the air.
Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that cometh down from above, Father of lights. Thank you for sending the Lord Jesus, the light who's come into the world. Help us to reflect that light, your light, the way you want, Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of your Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. Help us to shed your love abroad from our hearts by the Holy Ghost who's given unto us, Father. And because of that light, we thank you for the armor of light, Father God, by the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over every Christian, everyone involved with the Block Talk radio broadcast, not only Dr. Holiday and Dr. Sabrina and myself and all our family members, but everyone who is a believer and coming into the body of Christ or returning to the Lord Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over each one as a wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst by the power of the blood of the covenant. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for loving us when we didn't even care about you. We thank you for your perfect love that casts out all fear in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? And we thank you that you are for us, Father, because you sent your own Son. He withheld not his own Son, but freely gave him up for us all. How shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? And we bind every curse sent against this program and the members and anyone involved. Every witchcraft curse is returned sevenfold with continual repetition to those that send them, unless they repent and turn to the Lord Jesus in Jesus' name. And we take authority over all spirits of backlash and every ungodly spirit in Jesus' name. We pray for those who have been despitefully using anyone who is and coming into the body of Christ in Jesus' name. We ask you to deliver them, Father. We ask you to grant each one the gift of repentance if they need it, to the acknowledging of the truth that they will recover themselves from any and every snare of the devil. And we pray for those in leadership, Father God, in this nation, Father. We ask you to save their souls, have mercy on their souls, Father God. You told us to pray for our leaders, Father. We pray for leaders on all levels, in all areas, leaders, the heads of households, the heads of companies, the heads of schools and universities, the heads of states, the heads of municipalities, the heads of the federal government, the heads in churches and religious organizations, in Jesus' name. We ask you to turn them all to the Lord Jesus, Father. Give them to the Lord Jesus, Father, and that he would Save them, Father God, in Jesus' name. We ask you to save their souls, Father, in Jesus' name. And there's at least two of us, and we're on earth, and we're in agreement. And we thank you for hearing our prayers because of the blood of the covenant, in Jesus' name. We love you, Father. We love you, King Jesus, and love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving us first, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Marshall,
yes.
Would you offer a prayer for Pedro? Today's his birthday, and he needs prayer for his brain, mind, healing, and deliverance. But he's not on the air. That's a prayer request.
Okay. Well, Father, all these things that Pat just lifted up for Pedro, we come before you together in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said, if two of you on earth agree as touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them, my Father, which is in heaven. And, Father, we remit Pedro's sins, Father God, even as Jesus gave us that opportunity, because Jesus said, the things I have done, you will do, and greater things than these. And, Father, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to totally restore, recreate Pedro's mind and every part of that temple of the Holy Spirit, assuming he already knows the Lord Jesus and knows you, Father God. And if he doesn't know you the way you want him to, Father, we ask you to draw him afresh to the Lord Jesus, Father, because no man comes to the Lord Jesus save you, draw him, and send the Holy Spirit, Father, to do a great work in his life and change him from glory to glory. Restore him. May he be restored in the spirit of his mind in Jesus' name. For the Lord is his shepherd and he shall not want. I ask you to give him the mind of Christ and the heart to walk in love with himself, with you, Father God, and all the Godhead, and with all human beings under the unction of your Holy Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for doing so, Father. And we're all in agreement. I know at least Pat and I are, and I think Dr. Sabrina's right there, too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And don't forget that we'll see you come Wednesday. And there's a lot of new books up on Amazon, Pat Holiday under Kindle. And go up there and get your mind filled with the Word, because they're filled with the Word. Let's just say here. We couldn't get through to 972. There was some kind of a noise. We're off the air anyway, so I love you, Marshall. Thank you for helping us tonight and being faithful to the Lord and praying for all the people, because I know that God hears our prayers, and we thank you for who you are in Jesus.
Thank you for who you are, and I thank you for yielding to the Lord. It's awesome. You and Dr. Sabrina are great inspirations. Thank you.
Well, you are too, little brother. We love you.
Love you too.
Okay.
Love you, Marshall.
Bye-bye.
Until Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. In Jesus' name, amen.
So dry. Messiah, Jehovah, the mighty God.